welcome to today's Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. This week, we continue to showcase the world-class healthcare available to those of us here in Erie at UPMC Hammett. Today, we're very excited to be joined by Dr. Terri-Ann Gazinski, Director of Breast Imaging Clinical Division at UPMC Hammett. Thanks for being with us today, Dr. Gazinski.
Very excited to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of questions, a lot of homework went into this, so we're anxious to learn more about you and your practice, and obviously Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Doctor, let's begin. Can you start by telling us about your role as Director of Breast Imaging for the Clinical Division, and what are your key responsibilities across the hospitals that you work with?
So I have been with UPMC for 20 years now, and very passionate about what I do. I do only breast imaging, and being in charge of the community breast services has allowed us to really expand the services for all women across all communities, maybe some communities that aren't very close, you know, to say the Pittsburgh area, the Cleveland area, but we provide top-notch care to all of the women in this area, and we have the latest technology, which gets me really excited about what we can provide for women, you know, in this area.
Well, Dr. Gazinski, you just gave me the perfect segue to my next question. How has the field of breast imaging evolved since you first started practicing? And even more importantly, are there any recent advancements in imaging technology that you're particularly excited about?
So, as I've been doing this, I told you, for quite a few years, definitely a lot of advancements that I've seen in my career. When I first started, we actually used to use film screen, they called it, where we actually used to have a processor and a developing room that we would go in and actually process the images. And then we turned on to digital mammography, which was great because it allowed us to really give better image quality so that we were able to find, you know, more cancers, smaller cancers. But the latest technology, which I'm really excited about, and we've had now, when it first became FDA approved back in 2011, and I have to say, you know, kudos to UPMC. We were one of the first systems in the whole United States that got breast tomosynthesis, which is really a 3D mammogram for patients where we can look at every really area of the breast very closely. And so that has been one of the biggest advancements that I've seen in my career to allow us really to provide early detection for our breast cancer patients.
Dr. Gazinski, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, surprisingly, I learned in preparation for the interview, has been around since 1985. Nearly 40 years later, it's still a key annual observance. Why is it just as important now as it was then?
Well, I think it's really important because so many women are affected by breast cancer. Now we know also men are affected, which we don't want to forget about the men that are affected by breast cancer. 1% of all breast cancers do occur in men, but it is a predominantly female disease. We really have seen, you know, over the years, again, advancements in detection, but also advancements in treatment, which is why it's so important for women to, you know, take the time, take care of themselves, get out there, get their yearly mammograms so that we can put them on the path to be taken care of and healed.
Dr. Gazinski, as we've already alluded to, October, obviously a key month for breast cancer awareness. What initiatives or campaigns are you involved with this year to increase awareness?
So we have a couple of great events. I will say UPMC Hammett does such an amazing job of really highlighting Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we have on October 18th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., the annual mammography marathon. That happens at the Imaging Center at Sterling Square on Peach Street. And we have so many great things going on that day. They offer obviously mammograms, but they also offer free giveaways. There are manicures, lunches, gift baskets that you can win as part of a raffle. So it's a really exciting event. We have a lot of great things. We encourage women to get out there and be part of the event. We also have the Pink Fountain event on October 2nd at 6 p.m. in Perry Square. And that is a wonderful event where we make the fountain pink. And that's been such a great event that's gone on, you know, for the years. And we have, again, lots of great giveaways, lots of other support there for people who maybe are survivors, people who are just starting their journey. We have several speakers who talk about survivor journey, their journeys. And we also have an oncologist and surgeon who are going to be speaking also about the importance of breast care.
Dr. Gazinski, if you wouldn't mind, just because of the important nature of today's topic, would you mind mentioning the dates and times again for that Sterling Square event? That just sounds like the ideal opportunity for someone to really take advantage.
It really is, and I'm happy to. It's on October 18th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I will also tell you that we do offer, if women do not have insurance and are not able to afford a mammogram, we will help them get taken care of so they will have no charge for their mammogram. So we really want to encourage women to come out. And, you know, the Hammett Health Foundation is providing the free mammograms for those women, you know, who may not be able to afford it.
What a fantastic event. Doctor, let's talk for a moment about myths or misconceptions about breast cancer or mammography. What would you like to address, especially during Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Yes, there's so many myths out there about breast cancer. One of the biggest ones I hear at least once a week is, I don't have any family history of breast cancer, so I don't have to worry about getting breast cancer. And that's not true. Most women who are diagnosed with breast cancer have no family history of breast cancer. Very small percentage of all breast cancers run in families. And we know, you know, there are certain genes that can predispose you to developing breast cancer, but most women don't carry those genes. So that's why, again, it's really important to get out there and be diligent with your care and getting your mammograms. Also, a lot of women are extremely fearful of the mammogram hurting. And so what I always tell women is, you know, it certainly, you know, may be a little uncomfortable, but you want to communicate with the technologist who's doing your study. And, you know, if a position isn't really working for you, don't be afraid to communicate to the technologist and say, hey, that's a little uncomfortable. Can we try to reposition? Because we don't want women to be so uncomfortable that they're fearful, you know, of coming back. And one of the other really large myths that we hear all the time is, again, I don't feel anything, so everything has to be fine. Oftentimes, again, with the mammograms that we have nowadays, we can find small areas that you would never feel. So we want women to, again, come out and get their yearly mammograms.
Dr. Gazinski, as you know all too well, breast cancer affects so many women globally. How important is it to continue global education and outreach efforts beyond the month of October?
Well, of course, it's extremely vital. And I think a couple of things that you hit on is that, you know, it's not just a problem in one area. It's all over the world. And we really want to make sure we're reaching women who maybe are out in minority areas or not as well served areas. And we want to make sure they have the access. And so, you know, we have to look at initiatives as to how we can reach these women. And again, the Mammo Marathon offering free mammograms, there are many programs that can help support women who maybe have challenges of not being able to get their care. So we want to make sure that it's not just October that we highlight, but year round that women take care of themselves.
Dr. Gazinski, in preparation for this interview, one of the things that really surprised me was to learn that some women may still not fully understand the importance of the screening mammograms. Can you explain why these screenings, again, are vital to early detection?
Absolutely. So there are many times What we see on a mammogram is just a tiny, they're like tiny grains of salt. And so those areas sometimes can be cancer. And if we find them just when they're these tiny little specks and grains of salt, the patient will be cured. And you know, that's the great thing about breast cancer is so many of our patients will be cured and go on, you know, to live their full life. And so if we can catch it when it's really early, then that gives them the best chance of survival. And that's, of course, why it's vital that they come in and we find the areas when they're very small. Now, that being said, sometimes we do find areas that are larger. And again, now with the advancements with so many new therapies, we also are able to really help these women, even if we don't catch it when it's real early. But the earlier we catch it, the better off the patient does.
One of the things that I also learned, doctor, is the suggested age for beginning regular mammograms has shifted over the years. And I believe that this has led, from what I read, to confusion. What are the current screening guidelines and why have they changed?
That's a great question. So we follow the American College of Radiology, which recommends annual mammograms beginning at age 40. Some other agencies have recommended perhaps women can start mammograms later or have them every other year. But we don't necessarily want to follow those because, again, if a woman has a mammogram every year, it allows us to notice a change and catch it as early as we can before it becomes a bigger problem. So we really encourage women every year to get a yearly mammogram. There are a subset of patients who may be at higher risk. And those women, you know, we are so lucky here at UPMC Hammett that we have a high-risk breast clinic that we can get women hooked into and talk about, are they at higher risk? Maybe they had a mother who developed breast cancer early or a sister. And what additional tests do maybe they want to consider or when do they want to start screening mammogram? So again, we encourage women to, you know, get educated and make decisions that make sense for them. I always say, women need the information, get the information, and then they can decide, you know what, maybe this is what I would like to do with the information, or, you know, maybe these decisions are better for me. So we allow women to be involved in the decision-making process of how they want to be taken care of.
Are there emotional or psychological barriers women face in scheduling or undergoing mammograms? And how can we help overcome them?
Oh, there certainly are. And I think, again, education is really vital. So many women are, again, afraid of the results of the mammogram. They're afraid of the discomfort. They are afraid also so many times of, you know, if they find something, what will my breast look like afterwards? And so many things we associate with being a female. And, you know, will that change? So it's very complex. And we do have so many wonderful support services that we offer for women as they're going through their journey to allow them to figure some of these things out, because it's very emotionally charged, the whole topic of, you know, the breast and breast cancer and what we might find. But I will tell you this, on a very good note, 80% of all the biopsies we do in our patients are not cancer. So even if we recommend a biopsy, 80% of the time, it's not going to be cancer. So that's also very good news that, you know, we can often call the patient after the biopsy and say, hey, it's nothing to be concerned about.
That is very good news. Doctor, according to the American Cancer Society, breast cancer still does affect 1 in 8 women, making it the second leading cause of cancer-related death in women only after lung cancer. Are we making significant strides in reducing these numbers?
So, you know, over the years, the numbers have gone down a little bit. Not as much as we all would like. Obviously, we would like them, you know, to continue to drop. And, you know, that's where we continue to sort of push the envelope and we try to do research and we look at what new technologies are out there. And we look at artificial intelligence? Is there a role that can help us find breast cancers that maybe we as radiologists can't see? And so many companies out there are trying to really push the envelope to help us find more breast cancers, get these breast cancers diagnosed early so that women are survivors.
We're speaking with Dr. Terri-Anne Gizenski, Director of Breast Imaging Clinical Division at UPMC Hammett. Doctor, breast density is now known to impact the visibility of mammograms and is a significant risk factor for breast cancer, as you know. With new national legislation requiring women to be informed about their breast density, can you explain why the information is so crucial?
Absolutely. So this is actually a great improvement in, again, how we're taking care of women. We in the state of Pennsylvania have been mandated to give women information about their breast density. And so we've been doing it for years. Now, thankfully, the federal government has passed a law that all women all over the U.S. are now required to get information about their breast density. And why that's important is because women who have more dense breast tissue are more likely to develop breast cancer. That increases their risk, but it also increases the likelihood that we may not find their breast cancer. We may miss their breast cancer on their mammogram. And so now what we have started to implement as our policy at UPMC is women who are at higher risk, who qualify for what we consider higher risk, and there are certain criteria we follow, we now are recommending supplemental studies, such as an MRI of their breast. And the great thing in the state of Pennsylvania is that these supplemental studies are also covered by insurance. They are mandated to be covered, which is, again, I feel very fortunate that I live in the state of Pennsylvania, because there are many states that insurance does not cover this. And so now, with the information about breast density, again, women can make better choices about how they want to be taken care of. Do they want a supplemental MRI in addition to their mammogram that can maybe find a cancer that we just don't see on their mammogram because their tissue is so dense?
Dr. Gizenski, how do genetic factors, we talked about genetic factors a little bit earlier, let's go back to it for just a moment. How do genetic factors like BRCA1 and BRCA2 impact the likelihood of developing breast cancer? Should women be considering genetic testing more frequently?
So we know that there are certain genes, such as the BRCA1 and BRCA2, that do cause women to be at increased risk for developing breast cancer. But what we need to understand is the whole context. And so again, this is where I think it's important to have discussions with your physician. And then also, again, as I said, you know, we have the high-risk breast clinic here at UPMC Hammett that they can go and do basically ask you a whole bunch of questions to see if it makes sense for you to undergo genetic testing. We are doing quite a bit more of it than when I first started. When I first started, again, it used to cost, you know, a lot of money, a lot of insurances didn't cover it. That has really changed, thankfully, because again, with information, patients can make educated choices and decisions about how they want to be taken care of. Do they want to be more aggressive in perhaps pursuing additional surgeries, which would decrease the likelihood that they would develop breast cancer? So again, information is vital. We have the resources that allow women to get engaged and then make decisions. We are doing definitely a lot more genetic testing on patients because, again, then you as a patient can say, okay, if I had this information, maybe I would make different decisions about how I'm going to be taken care of. Do I want to maybe undergo, you know, a bilateral mastectomy if I'm at really increased risk versus having, you know, a minimal surgery? And it's not just a simple answer. There's a lot of complexity, as we talked about, the emotional, the psychological factors that we have to consider. And again, we have those resources that we can provide and support you through your decisions after you get the information.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Gizenski, early in this interview, You had referred to the tomosynthesis mammogram. For listeners who might not be familiar, what is the difference between a 3D tomosynthesis mammogram and a traditional screening mammogram?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so what we now consider standard of care at all the UPMC facilities is that a mammogram, we do a 3D tomosynthesis mammogram. Because the technology is so superior to the traditional mammogram, what we used to call a 2D or, you know, screening mammogram. And the 3D allows us to go through the breast slice by slice. We get a real inside look at the breast, and we're able to really pinpoint specific areas rather than just a slab picture that we used to take. We now can do really a three-dimensional view where we can look at it in different planes, which allow us to pick up these small areas of abnormality that we just couldn't see before because everything was sort of squished together.
Doctor, let's take a moment and discuss the amazing work that is being done at the UPMC Hammett Breast Center. What specific services are offered at the UPMC Hammett Breast Center to support early detection and treatment?
So we offer the screening mammograms, the 3D mammograms at our centers. We also offer, if you're having a problem or we see a problem on your mammogram, we do breast ultrasound. We also do biopsies. We can do biopsies using ultrasound. We also can use our X-ray machine and what we call stereotactic biopsies. And then if you would have an MRI and we see an abnormality, we also offer MRI biopsies. And I will just say, there are very few places in the UPMC system that offer MRI biopsies. There are three. We do, McGee offers it, and UPMC Altoona. So we are so fortunate that we have that technology right here in our community for our patients, so they don't have to travel, you know, to other sites to have an MRI biopsy.
Yeah, that is fantastic to have that available right in our backyard for Erie patients. Dr. Kaczynski, for women who have already been diagnosed with breast cancer, can you talk a little bit about the role imaging plays in their treatment and monitoring?
So if a woman has been diagnosed with breast cancer, oftentimes once they're diagnosed, they may have a breast MRI. So that allows us, again, a different look at the breast and to make sure there are no additional abnormal areas that we need to evaluate. We are now in the era where we give patients oftentimes chemotherapy before they have surgery, what we call neoadjuvant chemotherapy. And this allows us to watch the tumor shrink with the chemotherapy before they have surgery. And how we monitor that oftentimes is either following it up with another MRI or even the ultrasound. So it allows us in those women to watch their tumors slowly, hopefully get smaller and smaller over time before surgery, which then allows the breast surgeon to oftentimes do a smaller surgery to really allow better cosmetic result for our patients. So there's so many ways we can help in our imaging department to monitor what's happening with their tumors.
Dr. Kaczynski, can you teach us a little bit about radioactive seed localization? I ran into this term a couple of times. How does that benefit patients undergoing breast cancer surgery?
Well, this has been, again, another great advancement that I've thankfully have seen in my career. And what it is it's like a little, very, very small, you know, several millimeter device that we place in the breast that allows the surgeon to know exactly where to go in and take out the tumor. Back whenever I first started, we would put a wire into the breast and the surgeon had to follow the wire down until they found the abnormal area. Now, this is kind of like a Geiger counter, you know, or metal detector, where they can literally just put the probe right over the breast and it starts beeping. And so they know exactly where to go and to cut that area out. So again, it allows them better surgery, quicker surgery, and better cosmetic result. It also allows us to do it on a different day. We can put the radioactive seed in several days before their surgery, so they don't have to get up super duper early, get to our department, you know, have anything done before they go to the operating room. They can just come to us up to a week or so before, and then they just go to the hospital on their surgery date. So it really is a patient, you know, the patient benefits.
Let's discuss for a moment lifestyle and the role that that plays, whether it's diet, exercise, smoking cessation. How does that play in both, or what impact does that have, rather, in the prevention and treatment of breast cancer?
You know, I've been a huge proponent of this for years. I think women need to understand they can play a role and they can be part of the process of getting through their breast cancer better if they take better care of themselves, and also prevention. It has definitely been shown that, you know, if you take care of yourself, keep your body mass index lower, you know, try to do all the healthy things, it does decrease your risk of developing breast cancer. It also increases your chance of survival if you are diagnosed. And again, you know, smoking, if we can stop smoking, that really makes a huge impact on the patients in terms of if they've been diagnosed, it helps them get through it stronger. I have so many patients that ask me, you know, what can I do now that I've been diagnosed? Start taking care of yourself now if you haven't. It will make your treatment better. It will help you get through your treatment better, and it will help your survival in the end. So I say, start eating green, start eating clean. That's what I always say, and get out and take a walk.
Dr. Gazinski, what is the single most important message for women during Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Get out and get your mammogram. That's the best thing you can do, because if you don't get your mammogram, you have no idea what's going on with your breast health.
And Dr. Gazinski, last question. By the way, thank you for your time today. This has been educational and amazing in every way. Now, as a local leader in breast imaging, what are your hopes for the future for breast cancer detection and treatment? Where do you think we're going to be in the next 5 to 10 years?
You know, my hope is that, again, we continue to diagnose breast cancer earlier and earlier to give our patients the best chance of survival. I hope, you know, in 5 to 10 years, our technology has really improved, that we, with the help of possibly artificial intelligence, we're able to really detect these areas, again, before we can even see them on the mammogram. And that, you know, this really helps men and women for their diagnosis and really for their survival.
Thanks again to our special guest today, Dr. Terri-Anne Gazinski, Director of Breast Imaging, Clinical Division at UPMC Hammett. If you would like to learn more about October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month or UPMC Hammett Women's Imaging, please call 814-877-6123. Once again, that's 814-877-6123. Join us next week at the same time when we'll be talking to another great Erie business on Money Radio WPSE's Business Spotlight.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. You can access today's program or other episodes of Business Spotlight by clicking on the podcast tab on our homepage. Join us again next week as Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, presents another episode of Barron Talks.